Begin the current daf, Sechtes Chulin daf Ayin Zayin. Begin on the bottom of Ayin Vav Mabez, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf, which was discussing the halacha of our Mishnah, which was if Nishba Har Etzim, if the bone breaks, not severed, then regarding that limb, it depends if Rev HaBasar is Kaim. The majority of the flesh, or as the Braisa elaborated and said, even if there's skin, which there was this discussion how much skin could be combined, or would it even work on its own to be able to cover rive avia, rive kefai of the area of the injury, of the break. But either way, that though if there's a majority covering that injury, then that's going to be considered part of the body and it's going to be permitted with the slaughtering. Now, there were this hanu gidin rachin. There were these soft sinews, these tendons, which combine with the flesh to cover the majority of the broken bone. Thus, like I made the Rava, as the Gersa has it, that it came in front of Rava, regarding, so you have a rive of it being covered, however, it was only in combination, not just with the flesh or with the skin, but with tendons that were soft. So I'm Rava, he says, Lamai Leicheshlu, what should we be concerned for? Why wouldn't this work to fulfill the halacha of the Mishnah, that it's considered rive of Basar Kayim? Because Chada, Dam Rabbi Yechanan, first of Rabbi Yechanan said, the Gidin Shesevel Hakshas, when we have these tendons, although they're soft now, but ultimately they're going to end up turning hard, in spite of that, as a continuing type of Vayin Zayin and Alf, he says, Nimnan Alein B'Pesach. Halacha is a person has to be counted amongst the members of a group of bringing the Karban Pesach to be able to have a part of eating in the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Yechanan says that even if someone didn't have any more flesh of this Karban Pesach to be eaten, only the thing he had was to eat these tendons which are ultimately going to end up becoming hard, still he has fulfilled his eating of Karban Pesach. So we see that it's considered basar because right now it's soft. So it's considered basar. So it will be part of Reva Basar that's covering the area of the injury. Moreover, a second point says Rava, the Torah is concerned and for the money of Jewish people, and therefore will say that it is permitting this limb, it is permitting this animal, and saying that it's considered Reva Basar Kayim, because or else it would be a great loss for this person, and the Torah wants a person to not have a loss, and therefore we're going to say that this Gidin, although it's going to end up becoming hard, but right now it's soft and we treat it like flesh, and therefore it will be part of Reva Basar Kayim to say that that is permitted. However, Amalei Rav Papa and the Gir says, L'Rava, he says, how can you say this? First of all, you have Rav Shimon ben Lakish, who disputes Rav Yechanan Masechet Pesachim of Peidal Menav, and he says that actually, no, you cannot be counted on the Karban Pesach if there's only these gid and these tendons to be eaten. And here, moreover, you're coming to validate a question regarding Treifas with this, Visur Dereisa, and this is a biblical prohibition, which generally when you have a doubt, you go stringently. But Amrit my Leicheshlu, and you're saying, what should we be concerned? As if it's so obvious that should be permitted. To the contrary, it should be prohibited. It should not be working with that the tendon should complete it to be Rei Buster kind. So Ishtik, Rava was silent. Asked the Gemara, Vamai Ishtik, why was Rava silent in the face of the question? But Vama Rava, and Rava says, in Yevamas and Achilitz, he says, Halacha falls like Rish Lakish in three halachas and none more. And they're regarding Kenyan Paris, doing Chalitza to Muberis, Matana that's in the middle, and all these are three cases that are discussed over the Imperic Achilitz. But one thing we see is, but regarding this Machlaikis, regarding when you have the soft tendons, we see that Halacha is not like Rish Lakish, rather like Rabbi Yechanan, even if it's going to end up becoming hard, but we treat it right now like flesh. So why didn't he respond to say that no, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan? Says Gemara, because no, Shani Hacha, this case is actually different because the Hadib by Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan actually ended up retracting from his opinion regarding the soft tendons, and he agreed Ligabe Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. And he actually ended up saying that no, so anything that's going to end up becoming hard, we go based on its end, and we don't treat it like Basra. And therefore he ended up agreeing and saying, you're right, we have to treat this not as Basra, and it will not fulfill the halacha of Reb Basra being Kayim. Now, the reason for this discussion is because initially, Rabbi Yechanan had relied on the Mishnah abroad and later on the Kof Chobezim at Aleph that speaks about regarding the soft skin of a young calf. So Rabbi Yechanan said that we treat that skin like flesh regarding the halachas of like flesh, which it has tuma of food items and becoming tuma of nevela, even though it's going to be becoming hard. But right now it's soft and it's like the flesh itself. Now, however, Rabbi Yechanan ultimately retracted and he ended up explaining that that Mishnah is like a Das Yachal, like an individual Tana, and we don't follow that opinion. Because the Amalei, Rabbi Yechanan had said to Rish Lakish over there in Perek Oiva Reitiv, where Rish Lakish had asked Rabbi Yechanan, he asked him, regarding the skin of the head of a young calf that's soft, what's Halacha, does it become Tame? So Rabbi Yechanan said to him, no, it does not become Tame, because ultimately the skin's going to end up becoming hard, so we don't treat it like a food item, we treat it like a hard piece of leather. So on that, Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, but we learned the mission that says, Ve'elu she'arisein kebasar, that there are certain situations that the skin is treated like the flesh itself, and one of them is the skin of the head of a young calf. And that said Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, don't bother me with that Mishnah, because I learned that Mishnah that it was an individual Tana that was saying that, and that we don't hold like that, and therefore the same thing would apply to the tendons that end up becoming hard, like the skin of a young calf, where it's not treated like a food item, and therefore we see Rabbi Yochanan ultimately retracted and did not consider these Gidnish Ezevon Lahakshas as it is now, but rather as it is later, and therefore you're right, Rava ultimately retracted to Rav Papa and didn't respond to his question, because actually Halacha is not Rabbi Yochanan in that situation, even though generally it's only Rish Lakish in 3, in this we can't say like Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why he didn't respond. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to the halacha from the previous daf, which is going on this halacha, the mission that we're talking about, where Hahu Nishbar Ha'etzim, this halacha, that there was the bone that was broken, not severed, but broken, V'yatzalachutz, and it was protruding outside of the skin of the animal. But moreover, there was an added element, more than the case of the Mishnah, the shtakal kurtisimene. The kurtis, like the, from the word of kairit that's always used throughout Shas, that meaning like a small particle, a little piece of the bone got decomposed and it fell down onto the ground. So not only did it stick out, but it got broken down and fell off. Now, asla kamid abaya. So this question came in front of Abaya. Shahaya talasa rigli. He held on to this. He delayed for 3 yom tovim to ask the question to the sages that get together on yom tovim time to ask them this question because he didn't have an answer. So Amli Rav Adi Bar Masna. Rav Adi Bar Masna said to the owner of the animal who was waiting for the answer to see what's the halacha with this. Is this considered a problem more than just the classic case of nishbar ha'etzim? Because here actually a piece actually broke off. So he told him, Zilka made the Rava Bered Rav Yisrael Bar Chama, who that's referring to the famous Rava, who was the disputant of Abaya, which is always Abaya and Rava, says, go to Rava, the Harifa Sekine, which literally means because his knife is sharp, which means that he has an open heart that could be logical and could figure out an answer for you. So Zilka made, he came in front of Rava, and Omar Rava says, Mechti, let's see. Nishbar ha'etzim v'yatz l'chutzna. In our Mishnah, in the Brice that we quoted before, which elaborated in the Halacha of our Mishnah, we learn, the case was, if the bone broke, and it protrudes outside, that's going to be okay if you have Rav Basar Kaim. So says Rav, Mali Nafal, Mali Isi, what's the difference if it's intact, or if a piece fell off? Since you have the skin and the flesh that's covering the majority, it's going to be kosher, it's not a problem that a small piece fell off. Now, continuing on this halacha, so Amali Ravina L'Rav says, Mislakit Mahu, what's the halacha? If let's say, okay, the flesh that's left over is covering the majority, but it's not together, it's not contiguous. Rather, you have a little bit here that's around the bone. If you combine them, you have a majority covering. What's the halacha? Is that good enough, or does it have to be all connected? Moreover, Misraisis Mahu, what's the halacha if, let's say the flesh that was covering the majority of the bone, it was flattened out and very thin and weak. Is that also valid? Mismas mismahu. What's halacha if the flesh that's left over to cover got decomposed? As the Gemara clarifies, heichadami mismas mis. What does that mean? It got decomposed. It's still there. Amravuna Bari Dibishu, he says, Kol Shar Refik Kaidre. The doctor, the veterinarian, if he was trying to heal the animal, would have scraped it away with a knife because that flesh is already decomposed, but it's still there. Would that qualify for Rav Basar Kaim or not? So the Gemara continues with different questions. The following questions. Nikiv, if let's say that flesh that was covering the majority, if let's say it got a hole without missing any part of it, Ma, what's the halacha over there? Would that be a flaw in that buster being kayim to make it valid or not? Moreover, says the Gemara, Niklaf, if that skin that was covering got peeled off from the bone, so it's not connected anymore to the bone, Ma, what would the halacha be over there? It's still the Rav Basar is still there and it's still covering, but it's not connected to the bone. It got peeled off. Or Nistak, if the flesh that got left over that's covering split, now what would the halacha be over there? Or more than that, as Rashi explains, if you say that in the previous question that was when it got peeled off without any of the flesh missing, it just peeled off from the bone, then it's going to be kosher. What's the halacha of Nitil Shlish HaTachtim? If let's say the lowest third of the thickness of the flesh that's near the bone, if that third was taken away, but you still have the upper two-thirds of the flesh with the skin that's now in mid-ear because it's not connected to the bone anymore, Ma, what would the halacha be over there? So says the Gemara, at least Tashma, at least one of the last question that we just had, we could answer, because the Amma Ulam Rabbi Yechanan, which recorded in the previous daf, he said, Oyer Harehu Kabasar. And according to this halacha, he said that it doesn't have to be just right basar kind. You could have, the skin is just like the basar. But one thing we see, that if only the bottom third is missing, and you have the skin, and even the two-thirds of the flesh covering, for sure that's going to be kosher, because even just the skin itself is valid. Says the Gemara, no, it's actually not a raya. Dilma, maybe the case of Rabbi Yechanan is the kana mashcha didei, is where the skin is actually connected to the bone. In other words, maybe the case of Rabbi Yechanan is not where any of the flesh is missing from beneath, and that you have the skin hanging in the ear, and that we said, oh, so if that's okay, for sure, when there's still two-thirds of the flesh, that's okay. No. It's talking about where the bone broke on the bottom of the foot of the animal, which that part of the animal is naked from any flesh, near the area of the joint. Because all there is over there is bone and skin. And there the skin is actually very well connected to the bone and holding on. That was where Rabbi Yechon was saying his halacha, if you only have oil, that's going to be good enough. But if it's disconnected from that, and for sure if it's missing, maybe that actually wouldn't be good, even according to Rabbi Yechon. Now Amr Ravashi continues with this theme, Ki avina be Rav Papi, when the yeshiva of a papi, Iboilon, he asked us the following question. Niktar, if the flesh got cut away with a knife above the area of the break, in a circle, kamintabas, like a ring. Now, however, but still the majority of the circumference is covered. Ma, what would Allah be over there? Do we say that since it got cut away the skin in a circle, so then it's not going to heal anymore because that area that's covering is isolated from the rest of the skin of the animal? Or do we say that's not a problem? And we resolved this question from the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that he said, says, I asked this question to sages and to doctors. When they said, what you do is you take a bone from anywhere and you scrape around that area of where the flesh was cut away. Since that makes blood come out, so that blood is going to create healing over there. It's going to make the flesh connect and it's going to draw the parts to each other. Umala rucha, and that's going to end up healing the animal, and that's actually how the veterinarians do this. So therefore, it is going to be okay. Because since you have rave basar, the fact that it was isolated is not a problem, because you could scrape with a bone, and it's going to make it actually all come together. Aval parzla mizrav zarf, but he said if you do it with metal, actually that actually makes grooves in the flesh, actually would actually make the injury even worse, that's not going to be okay. But again, since there is a valid way with bone, therefore that's going to be okay if you have rave basar kind. Now, Amra Papa, he qualifies, he says, but v'hu dekana garma didei. But this is only if we see that the bone is holding on to its own, meaning we see that around the area where the flesh was scraped away, that the bone is starting to grab a hold of the flesh. And that's a sign that it's beginning of the healing. That's a sign that it's malar mucha. That's when it's going to be okay if you have rei basar kayim, that it's going to fulfill the halacha of a mishnah when it's tishbar ha'etz. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues the theme of a previous Mishnah, which we was talking about regarding when one slaughters an animal, he finds inside a fetus and all its related halachas. So now the Mishnah says, similarly, Hashecher es habehem, if someone slaughters an animal, shalya, he finds inside the amniotic sac, which is these two elements generally inside the womb, which is the sac, and in that sac is the fetus. So we had previously spoken about the fetus, now we're talking about that sac that the fetus, that the baby's in. So says the Mishnah, if someone finds inside a slaughtered animal this sack, so nefesh hayafa, someone that doesn't get so disgusted from something that's repulsive, so techlena, he could go ahead and eat that sack. And in other words, in the chiddush in this is, we don't say it's eiver menachai, that it's a limb that came off from a living thing, because even though it got disconnected before the animal was slaughtered, still it gets permitted with the slaughtering of the mother when it's inside the animal when it was slaughtered. Now however, but although it's one could eat it, but the Ein Metama does not contract Tumah, Loi Tumas Eichlin. It's not going to get Tumah of a food item because it's not considered, quote, an Eichel, a food item, although you could eat it, but not because it's an Eichel, it's just because it was, as the Gemara will explain, inside the animal and it was slaughtered. And Loi Tumas Nevelis, neither does, if the animal dies, that the sack will not get the Tumah of a Nevela, because again, it's not considered Buster, it's not considered Eichel. Now, however, Chishab allowed, but if let's say someone thinks about this sack that he wants to eat it, oh, so that's mitama tumas eichel. Now it's called achshave. He gave it recognition now that if, let's say, something that's tummy touches it, since he made it into an eichel with his thought, it could contract tumas eichel. However, avaloi tumas nevelis, it will still not contract tumas nevelis if, let's say, the animal dies and you find the sack inside, because it's not called basar. It's just like, yeah, it's a food item because he thought about it that he wants to eat it, but it won't have tumas nevelis. Now, continues the Mishnah, shil yeshayatzitza miktsasa, this amniotic sack, if part of it came out of the womb, came out of the animal, before the animal was slaughtered. So then, asur bachila. Then that sack is forbidden to be eaten, because even though only some of the sack came out, and you can't say that all of the child that was dissolved was inside that sack, so what's the problem with eating the sack? The problem is because maybe in that little bit that came out, the head of the child came out, and that is like it was born. So therefore, everything is now considered directed towards the part that came out, which was primary because it was born. So everything is considered secondary to that, including the sack that's inside. Everything is like it was already born. And if it's already born, it's not permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. As the Mishnah tells us, because simin v'lad be'isha, the sack coming out is a sign of birth of a child by a woman, but simin v'lad be'behemah is a sign of a child by an animal. Now, says the Mishnah ha-mevakeres, an animal that this is the first thing coming out of its womb, shepil yishalya, where it miscarries that first child, that and the sack comes out. So yeshlechen l'klavim, says the Mishnah, you could throw it to the dogs, it doesn't have any sanctity. Now, although we just said that ain't shel yibalei vlad, what do you mean, there's no sack without a child? Although there is a child inside over here, but here the majority of whatever the, we don't know, because it's all now just different molecules inside of it that's mixed in. The majority is that whatever there was not something that's sanctified, because A, first of all, maybe it was female, not male, and the law of Bukhari is only by male. And moreover, as the Gemara will tell us, maybe it was what's called a nidma, which it appears like a different type of an animal. So as the Gemara will explain, since the majority tells us that it's not sanctified, we don't have to be concerned that one could throw that sack to the dogs. Now, however, ube mukdashin, but by a regular carbon, like for example, an animal that's a shlamim, which could be a female, and then it miscarries a sack, then to cover that sack has to be buried, because since, like we said, there's no sack without some child in there. So therefore, that becomes sanctified, because whether it's male or female that comes out from a sanctified animal, that's going to be sanctified. And therefore, the halach is that it has to be buried. Now, however, ve'in kaver noisa beprashas drachim. However, one cannot bury it in a place where the road splits into two by a crossroads, because that's the way that those that do practice nichush, which is these types of things not related to nature, but like some type of supernatural superstition, they bury it there by the crossroads as a way of preventing future miscarriages. And ve'in tol noisa be'ilan, neither can one hang it on the tree, because me darche amori, these are the ways of the amoris, which is the biblical type of a nation, which they practice nichush, and the pasuk in Shemesh Chuf Gimel says, we're not supposed to do like them. If something makes sense, logical, natural, then one's allowed to do it, but these supernatural superstitions, even if it might be effective, one's not allowed to do this as them, and therefore one cannot bury them in those places. Now, the Gemara asks, where do we know the opening halacha of that if one slaughters an animal, fight inside the amniotic sac, that one is permitted to eat it? Says the Gemara, the Tanakh, like, learn the Brice. So the pasuk says, "Kol bebehema, whatever is in the whatever animal, and as we said, bebehema in an animal, teichela one could eat it." Which tells us, "Well, Rabbi says Hashelia comes to include the sack. Whatever's inside the animal is included in the permissibility, and this is inside the animal." Now, Yachla fel yatsa miktsasa, you would think even the following halacha of our Mishnah, even if part of it came out, that what's inside would be permitted. Tamalema aisa, there's exclusionary terminology in that pasuk of it aisa b'leishal yasa it and not its sack. Now, the Gemara asks, Mechti, let's see. The Mishnah told us, ain't shel yibaloi blad. There's no sack without a child, so lama likra. Why do I need a pasuk to say, to exclude v'lo shel yasa? Obviously, it's prohibited, because maybe the child came out. And like we said, if the head came out, then all of it's considered born, and therefore the sack gets considered secondary to the child, and the slaughtering wouldn't permit the sack, even if it was inside, if the child had already emerged. So what do you need a pasuk for? Says Gemara, you're right. Kras macht ba'alma. The pasuk was only used as an allusion to this halacha, but really the pasuk of Isa of excluding was actually for a different drasha. And the primary halacha of this pasuk, as the Gemara said in Daf Samach Tasim and Aleph, is to exclude if someone cuts the spleen or the kidneys of the animal inside, that's not going to be permitted being part of the animal inside. It's only when the animal is intact. Now the Mishnah said that although one could eat it, but it's not going to become tame because it's not considered a food item, and it's not considered bust to become tamas nevela. Now, related to this halacha, Bayur Bitzchak Bar Nafcha says, "Ur chamur, the hide, the skin of a donkey, which is very hard and repulsive, shashalku, which was cooked very much. Ma, what's the halacha?" So the Gemara asks, "Lamai, relating to what halacha? Ila tamas eichalin, if it's regarding becoming tame as a food item. In other words, are you saying that if you cook it so much, it's like edible, it becomes like a food item, so it could contract tumas eichlin? Well, Tanina, they already learned. What are you asking? And as a Gittin Tumat Beis, Ila Tumas Nevelis, and if it's regarding contracting the Tumah of a Nevela, in other words, do we say that if it's cooked so much, it's like not skin anymore, it's like flesh, so it's considered like the dead animal of the donkey itself, which is forbidden, so it'll get those Tumah of Nevela, in contrast to regular skin, which does not have the Tumah of the Nevela, rather the flesh. Tanina, that we learned too, as the Gemara explains both of these ideas. Tumas Eichlin, the Tanya, we learned regarding the skin that's cooked very much, regarding its susceptibility to Tumas Eichlin, as the Brisa says, Ha'ur, regarding the skin of an animal, Vashilya, and the sac that's inside the womb, Ein Metamas Tumas Eichlin. They don't contract Tumas Eichlin. Like we said, it's not considered a food item. However, says the Brisa, Ursha Shalkoi, but if the skin was cooked very well, or Vahashilya Shechishabalau, or the sack that was one thought about it and says, hey, I want to eat this, then mitamatumasaichlam, then they're considered food items, and they do contract tumasaichlam. So you see, regarding the first option, the skin that's cooked very well, it is mitamatumasaichlam. And regarding the second option, tumas navelas, namitanin, regarding if it contracts tumas navelas, that we also learn in the Brisa. The Brice is going on the Pasuk in Mayukah, Perikir Av, Pasuk Lamates, that says that if they will die from an animal which is for you to eat, if someone touches binivlasa in its dead carcass, so then it becomes tumah until the evening. Says the Brice, when it says binivlasa, its carcass is exclusionary, veloy ba'ar, but not if one touches the skin, veloy batsamas, not with the bones, veloy begidim, not with the sinews, the tendons, veloy bakarnayim, not with the horns, veloy b'lafayim, and not with the hooves, they're not considered the carcass itself. They're not going to transmit the Tumah of Nevela. Now, Va'omar Rabbah Barav Chana, he says, explaining this Brice, he says, Le'nitzuch, it wasn't necessary for the Pasuk to exclude these items, because obviously they're not flesh. Elo shasoin tzikigdera. The chiddush of this miyud is, even if you went and cooked it very much with spices, you made it like a dish, which you could cook up these hooves and these bones, and you could make it into a good edible thing, even that was being excluded and saying, but still that's not the Nevela, and that's not going to become tummy. So we see that Ur shasholkoi is not metamat tumas eichlin. It's not metamat tumas nevelis. So we see, A, it is metamat tumas eichlin, and we see that it's not metamat tumas nevelis. So what exactly was his question if both of them are already in braces? Says the Gemara, lo'ilm tumas eichlin. Truth is, his question was regarding, does it contract the tumah of a food item? And it's not resolved from the brace that we brought, because there was talking about a regular type of an animal, that if you cook it very well, yeah, then it's going to become an edible thing, and therefore, it's metamat tumas eichlin. But Vashani Urchamar Demos, the case he was discussing was different because he's talking about the hide of an animal, which is repulsive. And there the question was, even if you do cook it very much, maybe still it's not going to be a tamatama seichel, but that's not resolved in the Brisa. The Mishnah continued and says, Shilya Shayatsasa, regarding if the sack emerged, then it's all forbidden and one cannot eat it. Now, Amr Abelazar, he qualifies this halacha and he says, Lo Yishonu, we didn't learn it, Ela She'eni Mavlat. Only if this sack that emerged doesn't have a visible child that's still inside the womb. Alvayeshim avlad. But if there is with it a child, and we see its head in the majority is still inside the womb, so then ain't chayshin. Then we're not concerned that maybe there was also lavlad achra, that as if there was another child here that had come out, and that this sack was its, and the one that's inside actually had its sack already came out, and that's why this sack should be prohibited, because maybe this one had a different child. No, we're not thinking that maybe there was two sacks with two children, and then, oh, a sack came out. Oh, a sack coming out means maybe a child came out. Well, what do you mean, the child's still inside? No, maybe the child inside had its own sack, and this sack that came out was a different child, which that already came out. And that says, Rabbi Elazar, no, we're not concerned for that. If we don't see a child inside, then we have to be concerned. Maybe it got totally liquefied and it came out, and then we're going to say it's problematic and you can't eat this sack. But if you see the child inside, you know it's inside, then you know it didn't come out, and then you could eat it. Whereas Rabbi Yechonam, he's stringent. No, he says, Bein Eini Mavlad, Bein Yeshim Mavlad. No, whether there is no visible child, or whether even if there is a visible child inside, Cheshin Lavlad Acher, we're always going to say that the sack that comes out is forbidden, because we're concerned that maybe there actually was another fetus with another sack. The one inside, its sack already came out. The sack that's coming out actually was a different child, and maybe it came out, and therefore this sack is forbidden. It's not going to be permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. And that asked the Gemara Ini, was this really how the Machlekes Rabbi Elazar and Rechonam was? But the Amr Yirmi, he said, L'chumra Amr Rabbi Elazar, that when Rabbi Elazar said his statement that we just quoted before, he said it that because he was being more stringent than Rabbi Yechonam. The way we just quoted, Rabbi Yechonam was the more stringent one. So it says, if it was said, this is how it was said. Amr Balazi says, Loishanu, we didn't learn that the sack is going to be forbidden to be eaten, which sounds like that even if there is another child inside, it's still going to be forbidden. But he says, it's Elisha in the Kashur Bavlat. But it's only if that it's not connected, which that's what the sack is, that's where the baby gets its nourishment from. It's connected, the umbilical cord, it gets connected by a human, that's how it eats its nourishments. So it's only if it's not connected, the sack, to the child that's inside. Where there is where you could say, oh, if it's not connected, so not necessarily is it the fetus that's inside's sack. Maybe the one that's inside had a different sack, and that sack got dissolved and left. And maybe this sack is from a different child, and that child got dissolved and left. But says Rabbi Lazar, but if this sack that came out is connected to the fetus that's inside, so obviously that this sack is that fetus's sack, and it's inside still, then you're not going to be concerned for another child, for another fetus, and then it's going to be permitted to be eaten because the fetus, which is the primary designation, that's the locus, is still inside, and it was never born. Which Rabbi Yechon Amar, which is more lenient, as we said, says, no, anu ein lanu, we don't have that the sack is going to be forbidden to be eaten. Ela shilya, only if you have a sack, as our Mishnah spoke about, which partially had emerged, beloy vlad. If there's no fetus inside, with there you have to be concerned that maybe, okay, maybe there was a fetus, but it got liquefied and came out with the sack. But if there is a child that's visible inside, says Rabbi Yechon, no, then ben kshur bavlad, ben in kshur bavlad. Then whether it's connected to the child or whether it's not connected to the fetus, in kshur bavlad, we're not concerned that maybe there was another fetus, and therefore the sack is going to be permitted because we suspend it and say it's the ones that's inside, and it never emerged, and therefore the sack is going to be permitted. And now, the way we just explained, that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah said, that Lachomer Amr Balazar, but Rabbi Balazar was saying it more stringently, because he said that actually it's going to be forbidden, even if there is another fetus, it's only going to be permitted if it's connected to that fetus. Now, says the Gemara, Tanika Vasej Rabbi Balazar, we have a Brisa supporting the more stringent version of Rabbi Balazar. The Brisa says, Hamapeles min behema chayva oif. If a woman miscarries a fetus that has the appearance of like an animal, a wild animal, or a bird, now, this price is going according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, that's quoted Masechtas Nida Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, that whatever child does not have the form of a human being, so it doesn't have the halacha, doesn't have the halacha of a child for all the ramifications of a yeledus of a woman giving birth. Now, not only did she miscarry this creature looking like child, but Vishal Yiman, it had its sack with it that came that was miscarried with it. Now, says the Braisa, Bizman Shekashur Behen, so when the sack is connected to this animal-looking child. Then we're not concerned that maybe there was another child, which was a human child, that was born. And therefore, if the womb had opened without any blood, so that's what's called a dry birth, so then she's tar. There's no blood that came out, so she's not nida, and she's not a yeledus, because there was no child that was born. Now, however, it says the Braisa, but einik ashur behen, but if let's say, yes, this creature-looking child came out with a sack, but the sack was not connected to that min behema chayva oif. So then says the Braisam, the Tana says, Harini matalalau. So I'm going to impose on this woman, chaymer shnei vladis, the stringency of two children. Meaning to say, we're concerned that maybe, that with this sack, maybe was a complete girl. And therefore you have to consider that maybe there was a girl there, and even if she had a dry birth, she's going to be tame for 2 weeks, like the halach of a woman who gives birth to a girl. Because maybe there was another child. Now, additionally, says the Tana, I'm going to give this woman the stringency in the opposite direction and say that no, maybe that this child, which is this creature-looking child, was from this sack and there was no other child. And if that's the case, well, this creature-looking is also not a child. So she doesn't have the leniency of what's called the days of purity, which is a stringency. Because if there wasn't this creature and it was only the sack, then the Gemara says in Nida Chavdal Amabez that if a woman miscarries the amniotic sac, so she has to be stringent and sit the days of Tumah, which is for a boy and for a girl. But then we give her at least the Yemei Tahara, which is any blood she sees is not Tumah, of at least a male, which is then 33 days. Because like we said in our Mishnah, there's no fetus, there's no sac without a fetus. But here, she doesn't even get any Yemei Tahara. Because actually, maybe this sac was not with the child, because the child was this creature-looking child, which is not considered a child. So that's what he says. I'm going to give this woman the two stringencies. Shaniyam, because I say, Shemini Meich Shvir Shoshalyam, this sack that's over here, maybe, since it's not connected to this creature looking, maybe the embryo that was in the sack actually had already dissolved. And maybe it was a full child. And maybe she was a girl. But, and so too, maybe this creature looking, which is the fetus, maybe its sack had dissolved. And that this sack that is here was not its. So therefore I give that two-way stringency. But one thing says the Gemara, to prove like Rabbi Elazar, we see that there's a differentiation between if this fetus is connected to the sack or not, which was like the halacha of Rabbi Elazar, that we do differentiate that if it's connected, then we say, okay, then for sure it's it. But if not, then we do have to suspect, like in the halacha of our Mishnah, and therefore Rabbi Elazar is most stringent, and he suspects for Vlad Acher if it's not connected. Now the Mishnah said, "Hamavakeresh shepila v'chulu." If an animal giving birth for the first time miscarried this sack, so you could throw it to the dogs. Ask the Gemara, "My time, what's the reason you can throw it to the dogs? Why are we not in doubt that maybe this is the fetus that's a bechor? Because it might be a male, and you have a suffix deraisa, which is the halacha of bechor. Why let it throw it to the dogs? Should have to be buried like that of something that has sanctity." So Amar Ravika Barid Avami says, "Reiv behemis yoldois davar hakadosh bebuchar." Most animals give birth to a child that has a sanctity of the firstborn if it's a male, which is the halacha bechor. But even then, umiyat yoldos davar she'ein hakadosh bebuchar. There's a minority that even when it's a male, they give birth to something as a firstborn which does not have the sanctity of the firstborn. Umayni, what's that? That's nidma, which it has the appearance, meaning a sheep that looks like a goat, or a goat that looks like a sheep. The Gemara Bukhari, David Beza Manav, tells us that does not become sanctified with Kedushas Bukhari. Because the Pasuk says, Ach Bukhari Shar, an exclusionary terminology, to say that until it and its firstborn are both an ox, but if it appears like a different animal, does not have the Kedusha of Bukhari. Now, moreover, V'chol HaYoldos, and all those that give birth, meaning not just those that give birth for a firstborn, meaning to potentiality of firstborn, but any animal giving its firstborn, yoldes mechtzes zchar umechtzes nekeves. You have a 50-50 chance that maybe it's male or female. So here, this fetus that we're not sure, A, was it male or female, and if it's female, it's not sanctified, and even if it's male, maybe it's this nidma. Maybe it's this one that even if it was male, would not have the kedushas bechor. So samach miyuta de nidma lemechtzes nekeves. So if you put together the minority of being a nidma, even if it is a zachar, to the 50% chance of if it's a female, so b'havalu zachar miyuta, so the fact if it was a bona fide bechor to be in the case of male would be a minority, and what's called a miyuta lechashim, not concerned for a minority option, and therefore one could throw it to the dogs without the doubt of kedushas bechor. However, the Mishnah said ube mukdashim to cover, but if this animal was a carbon, like a carbon shlamim, then that miscarried sack, one has to bury. Says Gemara, my time, why is this different? Because Ruba Bar Mikdash, in this situation, the majority is sanctified, because whatever that child would have been, whether male or female, except for the case of Nidma, would have sanctity, and therefore one has to go ahead and bury it. Now, but the Mishnah concluded and said, but the Inkai for myself, but you're not allowed to bury it by a crossroads or on a tree, which was ways of warding off future miscarriages. Now, the reason for that was because we said Mishum Darchia Mari, because of Nichish, because of this type of superstition. Now, Abai and Rava Damar Tavaya, they both said, anything that has therapeutic and medicinal purposes, for example, like a certain liquid or potion or incantation that one says on a wound, that's not problematic as if this from the superstitious ways of the Amari. It does not have that prohibition. But if it does not have an element of therapy, for example, if let's say you do it not for an illness, rather like the case of our Mishnah where they would bury the amniotic sacs by the crossroads, which are similar to Nichuch, which is our superstitions, again, even if they might, so to speak, work, yes, but Mishum Darchei Emiri, that does have the halachic prohibition of following the ways of the Emiris, which is this problem about Nichuch. However, ask the Gemara, but Batan learned the Brice that says, Ilon Shemeshim Peresim, if a tree is losing its fruits, it's not holding onto the tree until it matures. So what you do is sacred is sikra, so you dye it with a red pigment, betoyin ababanim, and you weigh it down with stones. Now, ask the Gemara, these two halachas, bishlam betoyin ababanim, we understand why you would weigh it down with stones, is kihechi, so that is a ketin tab avayin chesam and aleph, the nechesh chayli, because you want the tree to lose some of its strength, and by weighing it down with stones, because it was because of the saturation of its fattiness, is what caused it to fall off too early. So when it weakens, it's not going to be so fatty, it won't fall off before it matures. Now that makes sense.
But El Asikra B'Sikra Amai, but why could you just dye with red pigment? That sounds like Darche Amairi. That sounds like a superstition. Says Gemara, no, Kihecha De L'Chazyu Inshi. We wanted that people should see, which it's a sign that this is the tree that its fruits are falling off, V'Leboi Rach Milavei, so that people should see and actually beseech mercy for this person. Because it sounds like we find a parallel in the Braisa regarding a Mitzayu, the Pasuk of Yikra says, V'Tamei Tamei Yikra. He has to scream out and say that he's Tamei. Why? Tzarech L'Dil L'Rabim, he has to notify the public that he has this malady, V'Rabim Mevakshim, Allah Rachim, and that the public will beseech mercy for him, so you want people to know that they daven for you. Also, anyone that has a bad thing that happens to him, tzorach le'dil l'rabim, he has to notify the public. For rabim, mevakshim olav rachmim, and the public will beseech mercy for him. As the Gemara says, Amar Avinu says, kaman talin and kufsa. According to whom do we hang a cluster of dates, bedikla on a date tree as a sign to know that its fruits are falling off? So the Gemara, kaman, who is that like? It's kehaitan, it's like the Tanna we just quoted, so that its people should beseech mercy for this person that he shouldn't have this problem. Hanulach Behema Hamakasha, which will return to the fourth Perek Masechta Schulin, Perek Behema Hamakasha, which spoke about things relating to an animal in childbirth, which has its fetus coming out, as we just had the Mishnah regarding another element in the Shechita, it's regarding how that relates to the fetus and the limb that it sticks out before or after the Shechita.